Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Roller Auctions having an auction on Thursday for electronics, Xboxes, Series X's, exercise equipment, home goods, and furniture. Get involved. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for The Lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, Broncos have wrapped up OTAs, and the big news coming out of it, Javonte Williams was on the field. I got to tell you, I talked to a friend of mine who has been a longtime chiropractor who has worked on many, many, many professional athletes, and he said to me, I would be stunned if Javonte Williams is on the field for the start of the season. Now, granted, he said, I've never personally looked at his knee, but that type of injury is far longer than 9 months, and good for Javonte Williams, good for how he has handled his rehab, good for how the people who have worked with him have handled the rehab, because I was shocked to see him on the field
yesterday. Yeah, shocked to see his mobility, his burst, and just a really good feel. That was the feel-good moment of the day, was seeing 33. And it was great. And it was good to see Randy Gregory and Garrett Bowles back out there as well. It was great to see Zach Allen and Mike McGlinchey. My God, Mike McGlinchey is a
monster.
Oh. And
how'd you like his press conference?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Bright, articulate, insightful. I
business like.
Mm-hmm.
Very a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to win championships.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen, everybody says that. But he has, because he's so big and with the way that he talks, he has a presence about him.
He does. And not just because he's the cousin of Matt Ryan. So, I mean, he's got good lineage. He's got great DNA. But because of where he's come from and who he's worked with in San Francisco. And let's face it, he's played in a lot of postseason games.
Right.
So, I mean, he's a guy that's been close to the promised land. And he was just very candid about things. I thought it was a very satisfying day in that regard.
Yeah,
it was nice to see new faces and great to see some old faces, especially Javonte Williams doing what he was doing. Right knee braced, but was out there working and getting things done. It was pretty impressive.
Good to see some new faces. How about a face that is completely trimmed down? Because if you look at a picture of Russell Wilson from last year and what he looked like yesterday, he looked like he went on a reality show for losing weight.
Biggest Loser.
Yeah,
wasn't that the weight gain one? The Biggest Loser.
I believe
or something
it was
like that.
And just to clarify something, it's not about the weight.
No,
it's about body fat.
Sure.
And he looks thinned out. You can certainly see it in his face. You can certainly see it in the definition of his arms. Clearly, he took this seriously. Not to say that he didn't take last year seriously. Everybody talks about how hard the guy works.
And that is a continued theme, by the way.
I'll give you something else. I don't know if somebody in PR talked to him. I don't know if Sean Payton talked to him. But the feel of his press conference was a lot more businesslike and a lot less rambling.
I think that my guess is that there has been serious conversation, and I think it probably happened early in the game between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. And I think that he probably told us before he even told Russ about the level of exposure that the quarterback was receiving last year. You could tell that Payton was not comfortable with that, and that was going to change. And it has changed, if yesterday is any indication. Russ is still the same effusive guy. The message is still kind of the same, but it's done more concisely.
Exactly.
There
He's
you go.
Tighter,
yeah, tighter
on his message.
Well said.
And rambling sounds like an insult. I maybe shouldn't have used those words. He just seems more to the point.
Agreed.
Whereas if somebody asked him, they really beefed up the offensive line. this year to protect you. What are your thoughts on how much they're going to help you out this season? He would wax poetic about Garrett Bowles.
He would name every guy.
Name every, and even the backups. Right. And I could tell he was asked a question where he could have gone down the name every player on the roster, and he didn't.
He resisted.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think so. Some of it may be the game plan. Some of it may be the tight window that we had to talk yesterday. I thought it was interesting. The tight windows for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson, we had much more time with Zach Allen and Mike McGlinchey.
Right.
Which was great.
That was their introductory press conferences.
Which I wish had been done. But that's another thing.
You better talk to Sean about that.
You are right.
It's a whole new world.
It's a different world. Peyton's place is a different place.
Did Payton seem a little agitated yesterday when he walked up and said, guys, I don't have a lot of time for this. I have other things that I need to do. And then about five questions in, usually it's Patrick Smyth, the director of media relations, who will say two more questions. It was Payton who said, I have time for two more questions.
Well, it would have been a little bit more stark if he hadn't been totally the other way on three or four other occasions that we've had him where he said, you know what, I've got time for a few more questions. He's given us the other end of the equation,
right,
too. I mean, remember, we were at the rookie press conference. That went on for, I think, 26 minutes, 29 minutes, 34 minutes.
Went on nearly 50 minutes.
Yeah, so it was like it went on forever.
And honestly, I think that was a real culture shock for him.
Could have been.
That there is that much interest in the Denver Broncos. It's funny, when I was walking in, I walked in during practice at a meeting that I had to attend to, so I wasn't able to be there for the full viewing of it. But I said to one of the PR guys, I said, when you are only allowed out here once a week for a three-day practice, there is a level of urgency by the media to make sure that they are out there so they don't miss anything, because you only have one crack to be out there. And it was packed.
It was. Yeah. Welcome to Denver. I mean, this is something that I've known because you've worked in other markets. I've worked in Kansas City for quite some time. That's a fairly robust media core.
Yep.
No question about it, but not like the Broncos. But when we were in Europe last year, that's what all the NFL people were saying was like, my God, the number of people that follow this team, to the point where they were getting us bigger buses to get us from point A to point B. So it's unusual. It's more, Denver's one of those places where it means a great deal. Not that it doesn't mean a great deal in other places. There are just more people to cover it.
Right. There are a lot more outlets.
Yes.
There are blogs that are specifically dedicated to covering, I shouldn't say blogs. Let me use there are different outlets that are specific to covering the Broncos, and to the Broncos' credit, those people are credentialed.
Yep.
And so it makes for a larger audience out there. There are four television stations, three sports talk radio stations, and then you have all of the other websites that are dedicated to the Broncos.
And that doesn't even count what you get from Colorado Springs.
I mean, how many major markets, yes. But we are what, market 18, 19?
17.
How many television markets, 10 through 20, have three sports talk radio stations? And you can make the case, KOA is a...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's their flagship.
Right, but they do news as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a lot of stuff for
the
Broncos.
They do.
So you can make the case there are really four sports talk radio stations in town. Chicago doesn't have that.
No.
Chicago has ESPN Radio and The Score. And if there's another station there, you know, tell me what it is. I'm not familiar with it. Even New York City.
No, you're right.
Do they have four radio stations?
I'd have to think about it, but you're right. When you stop to think about it, that's incredible. And
right.
The number of people who are allocated to covering the Broncos
right.
specifically
yeah.
is different.
And too. And I'm going to point these guys out because it's to their credit that they were there. I was there yesterday, and so was Cody. I know Nate Kreckman was there, who does an afternoon show. I know Darren was there, D-Mac.
Yep.
He was there. That's another radio station. Ryan Edwards was there.
Yep.
He was from KOA. That's four or five more people.
Yeah.
Because we have so many radio stations in town. Anyway, coming up after the break, we thought it was going to be the Heat. Not so fast.
Not so fast, my friend.
The tougher matchup could be down the road, and that is the Boston Celtics. Also, how much do these Nuggets remind you of the Avalanche from last season? I think there are a lot of striking similarities. That's next.
I never knew that everything was falling through, that everyone I knew was waiting on a cue to turn and run when I...
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman, Roller Auctions. It's having an... You all right there, Bruce?
Yeah.
Man.
You know, I'm using the cough switch to cough, and then, of course, I run into the microphone before I can reach the cough switch.
Why don't you move the cough switch?
I'm a mess.
Thought I was a mess with my health and the sciatic nerve problem and my root canal, and you have bigger problems on the air.
Oh, I have problems, period.
I will not debate that at all.
I admit it readily.
It's Mental Health Awareness Day on the show for you.
Oh, God.
Okay. By the way, Roller Auctions Twitter feed having an auction on Thursday for electronics, Xboxes, Series X's, exercise equipment, home goods, and furniture. Get involved. Get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. In the meantime, I want to tell you about the Gallery Sportsman's Club in Range. This is just a great place to go if you want to go for lunch, go for dinner, get some trigger therapy, do a little shooting in terms of working on your target practice. It is one big, fun place to go under one roof. I love going there for lunch. And they just updated their menu. Their lamb sliders are so stinking good. They really are. And I'm not just saying that.
No, I know.
They're fantastic. Their menu is great. You can spend all day there because you're getting your trigger therapy, and then you go hang out and watch games, right? Go there tomorrow night and watch game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And then next week, if you want to go out there, do a little shooting, get some target practice in, and watch game 1 of the NBA Finals, the Nuggets against whoever. Plus, they have a great membership deal right now, $49 a month. If you want to, you know, just go out there and get a lane for an hour, it's going to be $25. You go there twice, it's going to pay for itself. Remember, this is unlimited for $49 a month. Gallery Sportsman's Club and Range in Lakewood. Go check it out with you and your friends. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. The Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
How would you feel if you're the Miami Heat right now and you're feeling pretty good about yourselves, up 3-0? You won the first two games in Boston. You trashed the Celtics at home. And now you've lost two in a row in convincing fashion. And bang, we're at game 6 tomorrow.
Yeah, 3-2 doesn't even enter into the equation right now. What I'm looking at is the total dominance of the Celtics in the last two games.
They decided to come to play.
A little different now, isn't it? No question about it. And to your credit, you talked about the Celtics from a defensive standpoint in the first half. Look, this is a capable team. We understand that. Tatum, Brown, White, they've got guys that can score. That goes without saying.
Horford's a good defensive player. Williams is a good defensive player.
But these guys defend.
Yes,
this is
do.
A team that defends on another level. And there is no question that this is a more, at least in my opinion, difficult matchup for the Denver Nuggets. Having said that, I still think the Nuggets will be favored regardless of who they play in this final. I think so.
Maybe because of the way the Celtics have struggled in this series.
And the lateness of their series, how long it's going to go, things of that nature. I don't think it'll be by a large amount, but my guess is that the Nuggets will be the betting favorites.
Yeah, I think so too. Now, let's look at the Nuggets. Let's look at the Avs from last season. And I got to tell you, the similarities to me are so incredibly striking on how these teams were built. Both teams built through the draft. And oh, by the way, the Nuggets did not have the luxury of a bunch of top three picks, top four picks.
Well, they hit a once-in-a-lifetime second-round draft pick in Nikola Jokic.
The Nuggets did, yes.
The Nuggets did. And look, there was scouting. There was enough done to make that pick. You give credit where it's due, but even Michael Malone has said no one could have imagined, no one,
right,
the type of player that he has evolved into. So there's a little, in the Nuggets case, there's a little bit of good fortune. I'm not even going to say luck.
It's not little. It's a
big
ton.
It's huge.
Because nobody would have predicted this.
No.
But with that, and looking at the Avalanche, McKinnon, top overall pick.
Fantastic.
Landeskog, top three pick. Matt Duchene, top three pick that turned into something, right?
Right.
And then Makar was the fourth pick.
Right.
So they had those picks. They built their core that way. The Nuggets built their core on a seventh overall pick in Murray, a 14th overall pick in Michael Porter Jr., and you can make the case he would have been one of the top two picks in the draft if he was healthy.
No question.
But they had a young roster at the time. They're like, we can be patient with this guy. And then you have Nikola Jokic. But they were all built through the draft. When they beefed up the team through free agency, they built it, the Nuggets did, with Bruce Brown and KCP. Mm-hmm. Not big contracts, you know.
But key guys.
That's right. You look at how the Avalanche built their team last year. Darren Helm wasn't considered a great pickup. Cogliano wasn't considered some great pickup. Yes, they got Devon Taves. I'm with you on that. But when you look at their top two lines, unless I'm missing something, there were not superstars there. Nobody really looked at Nichushkin, and I believe that was a trade anyway.
Mm-hmm. Dallas.
People are thinking, wow, we got Nichushkin. And Lekkonen, ooh, we got Lekkonen. So they made some key moves, some key trades, some key things in free agency. No major star power. It's not like Panarin came here, right?
Right.
It's not like they picked up him. So both teams similar in that sense. And then they remain patient with their coaches.
Which in this day and age is so rare.
I could tell you right now, Joe Sakic, about 4 years ago, was this close to getting fired. He was really close to getting fired. Really, really, really close to getting fired before they suddenly turned it around. People like Jared Bednar, who the hell is he? They remained patient with him. Michael Malone. It took a while for this roster to grow and develop, meaning really the core players.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, when you look at longevity, Bednar and Malone, they're the elder statesmen, essentially, or at least in that small fraternity, in their respective sports.
Right.
So their teams were built the same way. But this should not be ironic considering it is the same owner.
Give credit where it's due, right?
Yep.
How about Stan Kroenke and his run right now?
And by the way, again, you can get all over him.
Oh, yeah, of course.
If you want to get over him for the Comcast thing,
separate
that's
issue.
Fine.
Right. Separate issue. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how these franchises have been put together,
right,
developed, and how they have evolved. Pretty hard to argue. And they did it in Los Angeles with the Rams in a totally different way. Totally different way.
FM picks.
Exactly. But they got their title.
They did. And now Stan Kroenke is looking at the possibility of three titles in 3 years in a row in three different sports.
Major sports.
And that is, major because he has one with the Mammoth.
Right.
Right.
And he's working Arsenal in the Premier League, which is having a pretty damn good year.
Right. So I understand why people are upset about Comcast, but that's a business decision. Just like when Dick Monfort built the party deck. That's a business decision. Different budgets. I believe that the Cronkies are willing to pay their players. However, when it comes to paying management, not so much. I mean, I was told that Masai Ujiri had to beg for an extra $50,000 for his contract when he was hired. They don't pay their executives a whole lot of money. You know, you would think that you should put more value in that. I don't know what Les Snead, the GM of the Rams, gets paid.
Don't either.
But at the end of the day, you can't argue with the results.
No. No, absolutely. And it's been a pleasure to watch this kind of philosophy take hold and bear fruit.
In a sport or sports where there is no patience.
Right.
Look who just got fired in the NBA. Doc Rivers just got fired. Nick Nurse won a championship handful of years ago. Got fired. And Milwaukee.
Monty Williams got fired.
Yeah.
I mean,
not Milwaukee. Did I say Milwaukee? And Milwaukee. No,
Budenholzer was fired.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
We live in a microwave society. Has to happen right now. If we don't get it, boom, you're gone.
Right.
For all the times with all that talent, you know, Jared Bednar can't get out of the second round. A lot of owners would have fired him by now. We got a lot of talent. What the hell are you doing?
Right?
Yep. All right, with that, coming up after the break, a great article on yardbarker.com titled The Most Overpaid and Underpaid Players at Every Position. There are three Broncos in that article. The question, are they under the heading overpaid or underpaid? That's next.
How far is heaven? And I know that I need to change my ways of living. How far is heaven? Lord, can you tell me?
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman, Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. Roller Auctions is having an auction on Thursday for electronics, Xboxes, Series X's, exercise equipment, home goods, and furniture. Get involved, get notifications about upcoming auctions at rollerauction.com/MHS. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Roller Auctions. Get what you want at the price you want. Go to rollerauction.com/MHS. And they'll send you notifications on their latest auctions.
There was an article on yardbarker.com yesterday titled The Most Overpaid and Underpaid Players at Every Position. Broncos had three players on the wrong list, the overpaid list. Russell Wilson, Randy Gregory, DJ Jones. No surprise, Wilson is on the list when you look at his numbers, how he played last year. Gregory's numbers, played in six games, two sacks, $16 million cap hit, which is the 13th highest in the league. As for Jones, this is what Yardbarker wrote about him. Denver paid Jones like an elite defensive tackle when he was brought in from the 49ers, but the early returns are not great. 34 tackles, 2 sacks, 15 games, his cap hit nearly $13 million in 2023. Do you agree with all three guys on the list, especially Jones?
I think it's easy to make that jump if you are just looking at dollars and cents.
And stats.
And I get the stats, absolutely.
They're down.
Yep, absolutely. I think that certainly there's no argument with Russ at this particular point.
Or Gregory.
Hold on. We'll get back to Russ because that needs to be revisited. Randy Gregory, obviously, isn't. When you're not available, you're not worth what you're being paid. That goes without saying. DJ Jones is a little different for me.
Yeah.
That's a little different. That one, to me, I think that there needs to be nuances. How much is he drawing the double team? How much attention is he drawing? what type of results in terms of yards per rush coming to him is he giving up? How much pressure is he getting up the middle? There's a lot of gray area in stats that you can polish up a little bit and make a little bit more of an argument for it. I like the value so far in DJ Jones.
I say this with all due respect to the guys on the front seven last year, but you're going to give less attention to DJ Jones when you have a Nick Bosa,
right?
When you have other guys in that front seven who are so stinking good that you're like, well, who are we going to double team? Well, we're not going to double team Jones.
No. Right.
But of course, now you have to double team
Jones.
Yes, you do. Because he's one of the better players. So we talked a lot about how George Payton evaluates talent. So how would you balance out these three guys with the good things he has done in free agency? Kwan Williams, right?
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Like him.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Like him a lot.
Like Singleton. Tackling machine.
Yes, you do.
I like what he did.
Yep.
There's some other guys that you do like. But then when you balance it out with two of the highest paid players on the team, unfortunately, the scales tilt in the wrong direction. And then you throw in Nathaniel Hackett, and it's like, wow, your biggest decisions, you haven't been very good on. The smaller, for lack of a better phrase, decisions have panned out. We'll see what happens with McGlinchey and Ben Powers and Zach Allen, also releasing Brandon McManus. So how do you really evaluate George Payton? And now that it is a combination of Payton and Payton, you know, whatever happens moving forward, this is on Sean Payton's watch too.
Yeah, no question. That's a great question in terms of percentages. Maybe it's hard to go 50-50 because the two exclamation points have been swings and misses so far.
Big.
Big ones.
I mean.
Big.
Big enough when you say swings and misses,
mm-hmm.
with just last season.
It's like Casey at the bat, swings and misses.
Well, I'll take it a step further. It's a guy who swings and turns into a corkscrew and he is waist up.
Yeah.
That's how bad these misses were last year.
I'm willing, I think most of us are willing to take a look at Russell Wilson in year one under Sean Payton. Year two in the system. But clearly, Nathaniel Hackett was disastrous.
Well, let's put in perspective how bad of a hire this was when you look at NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Only four coaches in their first year in NFL history have been fired during the season.
That's a tough one.
And Hackett is one of those guys. And probably the biggest reason why Urban Meyer is one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about being a bad coach. He was just a bad guy.
Well,
and they wanted him out of the building.
Yes, absolutely.
Nobody wanted Nathaniel Hackett out of the building because they didn't like him.
Nathaniel Hackett was one of the more likable people that I have met in the NFL. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about results, and there were no results. So it's one that. And obviously, and then you add Randy Gregory to the mix. That's another one that I'm willing to wait on. But history tells us that Randy Gregory is not available. History tells us. And it told George Payton that too.
Yep.
He knew that.
Yep.
He knew that.
And a lot of that had to do with off the field issues. A lot of
right.
that did. But there were plenty of signs
mm-hmm.
that when he wasn't getting in trouble for smoking pot, he still wasn't on the field.
Right. So now we see this is big years for, in that regard, both Randy Gregory and obviously Russell Wilson. No question. There's been criticism that they overpaid for Mike McGlinchey and Ben Powers.
Yes. Specifically McGlinchey.
Yes. But need
forces you to pay more.
And evaluation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know? How many guys, what has it been, 9 straight years that a right tackle, a new right tackle is going to start the season?
Right.
9 straight, how can that possibly be? I think it's Orlando Franklin is the last guy that that started back-to-back seasons at right tackle for the Broncos.
Here's one way to put it. You know I love using analogies. If every year of an NFL season is like making chocolate chip cookies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you have to make really good chocolate chip cookies every year, and one of the key ingredients is chocolate chips, no matter how much those chocolate chips cost, and you have to make chocolate chip cookies, you have to pay a lot of money for chocolate chips if they are really, really expensive. So if a bag of chocolate chips is $20 and you have to make chocolate chip cookies, you're going to have to pay $20 for a bag of chocolate chips.
Yeah, not the bag that's $3.50 at the corner dive.
Well,
you got to pay for the good chocolate.
Well, the funny thing is,
you need the Belgian chocolate.
Well, the funny thing is that the Broncos have paid a premium for chocolate chips. Mm-hmm. And as it turns out, the chocolate chips ruined the chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So here they are again, spending a premium on chocolate chips because they have to make those cookies.
Do you feel, and maybe I'll wait and ask this question, I should wait and ask this question until you get to see them working as a unit. The offensive line, to me, has the chance to be the most improved unit on this field.
Well.
Has a chance.
Has a chance. You know why? Because you can make the case it really can't be much worse.
You can make that.
What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed?
Jamal Murray ranked his top five players in NBA history, and is the door completely closed on the possibility of the Athletics remaining in Oakland? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
I must live with every day.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us at MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Roller Auctions Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. A week from today, they're going to be having an auction for electronics, Xboxes, exercise equipment, home goods, all kinds of stuff that you're going to want to absolutely check out. So go to rollerauction.com/MHS to get notifications about upcoming auctions, or go check out this one and go to the same website, rollerauction.com. Time now for the final word. Oh, wait, no, not for the final word. We got Dan McKenzie. What am I thinking? We got Dan McKenzie, and I love talking to Dan because I am living something that he talked to me about years ago, and now I understand everything that he said.
You're a trust guy.
Well, I am a trust guy. I'm not a will guy. With that, I want to bring in my favorite Michigan Wolverine, Dan McKenzie. How are you, Dan?
Very good. How are you?
I got to tell you something. When we did get together a couple of years ago, you might as well have written, you know, stuff down in Mandarin because I had no idea what the heck you were talking about. Yeah. I understand this stuff in full right now. I am totally smelling what you forced me to step in because I didn't get what the heck you were talking about. With that, I remember when you said, hey, let's do a trust instead of a will. And I never really understood the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. Explain to our listeners and our viewers what the difference is, because now, by the way, we finally got through probate seven weeks after my mother passed away. So what are the differences? Why do people need to come see you, but at least find out their options at the very least?
Well, a will is just instructions from you about who should take over or manage your affairs if you can't, if you've passed away, right? So, you know, they got to get a court order, actually, to confirm that the will that they're using is the will. That's the probate process. And then, you know, they're carrying around a document to various accounts that are titled to you, real estate or whatever else that's titled to you. And that's how they go around and collect stuff. But because all that stuff is in your name, like it does require a court to confirm that you're the right person to do that. So that's how you ended up in that process in Illinois. A trust is basically creating a whole other thing that is separate from you. So rather than Eric Goodman owning like your house, for example, the Eric Goodman Trust does. And the point of that is like, okay, on paper, you don't own your house. The trust does, but you're running that trust. And the point of this whole exercise is you have said, here's who can step in and run this trust if I can't. And even if you've passed away or become incapacitated or anything else comes up where you cannot manage your stuff, that trust is always alive and well. It doesn't need to go through probate because it exists separately from you. So now you've created separation between your stuff and you, and that gets rid of the court process.
Tell me if I'm hearing you correctly, and I'll try and sum up what you said just to try and simplify it. If you have a will, a court has to appoint a power of attorney, and that could take a while, someone to take over your affairs. And in my case, it took 7 weeks. If you have a trust, you don't need to go to court to have a power of attorney assigned, because it is already assigned, and boom, you start from day one doing what you need to do.
Right, right. So if my wife has a bank account, like even if she's my wife, right? We have the same last name, you know, we have the same address and everything like that. If I go into that bank and say, look, she's hospitalized or she's passed away and I need to get the money out of this because I still have mortgage payments to make, they're not going to give it to me. There might be a will out there saying, even though you're her husband, like this particular bank account goes to someone else, her mom or a friend or whatever else. We do not know. The bank does not know any of that. So they're like, go get a court to confirm that you're the right person to give this to, and then we'll give it to you. And now you're in the probate process. So she puts the bank account into a trust, and the trust says Dan McKenzie can come in and get this money for me. Then we're not doing that because the trust is fine. No matter where she is.
With that, there are probably people out there thinking, I don't really need a trust for sure. Probably don't need a will. I'm single, 24 years old. I can wait. Why should they not wait and come to see you?
Well, we don't put everyone in trust. You know, that was a conversation that you and I had. You had some specific circumstances that made sense for that. But wills, like, you know, once you really have people depending on you, yes, I think you should have a will. You might be able to get by without one if you really no one at all is depending on you. But there might be more people than you realize doing that. But even without any of that, the other stuff, the financial power of attorney, the medical power of attorney, the living will, all those things that explain, here's how, you know, I want my stuff managed and my health care managed if I'm alive but just can't do it myself, are very critical, maybe more critical in that circumstance than others. Because, again, you know, I just talked about how hard it'd be for me to manage my own wife's stuff. Like, what if I didn't even have a spouse? Like, you know, then it's really unclear to them who should do what. And that can be a real mess.
How do people get a hold of you?
They can call us at 833-CO-PLANS, or they can go to coplans.co on the web.
By the way, I don't know how your trust is worked out with your wife, Tien. But is there anything about boxes of chocolates on, you know, you have to give some away to other people, or are you allowed to hog it all for yourself? And you know exactly what I'm talking about, Dan.
There might be some provisions I slipped in there without her knowing about that.
Well done, Dan.
You bring this guy a box of chocolates, he doesn't share.
Well,
he's not a sharer. He's not.
I mean, you
selfish
know,
that way.
Possession. I mean, when you have possession, what more do you need?
Well, but there's a difference between possession and sharing. Man. Like, his wife, Tien, is so lovely. She's willing to share with the entire office. Mm-hmm. Dan closes the door, turns off the lights to make sure no one knows he's in there, and he's sitting in a corner just shoving
caramels,
those things in his mouth.
Those chocolate caramels are pretty good, man.
And by the way, if they have fruit in that chocolate, you better keep your hands and feet away from them. Yeah. Right, Dan?
I mean, it's not good for you, and I'm just trying to do everyone else a favor.
Well done.
Thank you.
See, you're always thinking of others.
Dan, hope you guys have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, you too.
See you, pal.
All right, bye.
Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
Just in case you missed it, Jamal Murray ranked his top five best players in NBA history, and in no order, they are Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Steph Curry, and Shaquille O'Neal. Murray didn't include Magic Johnson, Kareem, Larry Bird, or Tim Duncan in his top five. What do you think of Murray's top five all-time list?
Pretty hard to argue with.
Yep. I mean, you have arguably the greatest player of all time in Michael Jordan. You have the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry. One of the greatest competitors and one of the greatest basketball players of all time in Kobe Bryant. An absolute unstoppable force in Shaquille O'Neal. He didn't watch, you know, Will Chamberlain or Bill Russell.
Right. And by the way, the NBA's all-time leading scorer, amongst other things, with LeBron James. So, I mean,
right.
Yeah, I got no problem with
that. It's hard to argue with the list.
Yeah. I thought it was a pretty good list also.
Pretty soft.
Yeah. All right, just in case you missed it, baseball commissioner Rob Manfred said a vote on the Oakland Athletics' prospective move to Las Vegas could take place when MLB owners meet on June 13th through 15th in New York. Manfred said, "It is very difficult to have a timeline for Oakland until there is actually a deal to be considered. There is a relocation process internally they need to go through, and we haven't even started that process." Do you think the door is completely closed on the possibility of the Athletics remaining in Oakland, where they have played since 1968?
Well, yeah, because as of right now, there's no mechanism by which to get a facility. I mean, they voted it down on numerous occasions. There appears to be no momentum moving forward to want to even keep the A's, who are playing in front of a lot of fans disguised as empty seats.
That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, at least for Bruce and I and Alex, we've hit Memorial Day weekend, so you might want to have a cocktail. Certainly one on Monday, or maybe a beer. Highly recommend you go to Argonaut Wine and Liquor. They deliver to the entire Denver metro area. Every delivery over $100 is free. So if you're gonna have a big party, you know, you can go to Colfax to see the great selection, get a ton of help. But if you don't want to drive down there, they will bring the liquor to you. Guessing if you're having a party, it's gonna be over $100. Talk about convenient. Argonaut Wine and Liquor, see why Westward calls them the best liquor store in Denver. 5 years running. That is going to do it for us, Jack and Alex. Great job as always. As for you, Bruce, fantastic week of work. Hope everybody enjoys their Memorial Day weekend. Be safe. Have a cocktail. Eat your favorite carcass. Have a great time. And with that, Sandy Clough will be filling in for me all next week. We do not have a show on Monday. Make it the best possible Memorial Day weekend you can. Americana got the sleepy eye.